The worst part about puberty for me was the random boners.
Tampons at that age are so, like, for me, they were so traumatizing because, like, I never fully understood how to do it properly.
I just didn't want to be perceived as an adult. You know, you're in grade 3. You're not mentally ready for the changes that your body's going through.
It does feel very much like a second puberty. A lot of the time, I just feel like a little horny teenage boy.
Get the therapist on speed dial for after this because we're going to re-traumatize you.
Hi, I'm Dee Salmon, and for those of you who have been following The Hookup for years now, I've got a bit of an announcement to make.
Oh, what is it?
Well, you know how I famously don't pay for parking?
Famously.
Because I take the gamble. I take the risk, and I say, if I get a fine, I get a fine.
Mm.
And for me, getting a fine is cheaper than paying for parking.
Right, right.
Because the of the odds. Math. Because of the go math, the
yeah.
odds.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Well, this is a real recession indicator, but I've started paying for parking.
Oh.
I feel shame.
Yeah.
I won't be taking any comments.
It's really against your ethos.
I had 2 fines in 2 weeks and I just went, I can't afford this. I just can't.
Wow. You know what we call that? Personal growth. And a recession indicator.
Thank you.
Hi, I'm Pip Rasmussen. And my recession indicator is that I went out to dinner and got a doggy bag, takeaway in a little box, and then went to the club. And I cloaked my takeaway food at the club.
You stunk out the club.
Can I tell you?
Did you have fish?
No, it was vegetarian. Okay. It was a vegetarian mee goreng. It was gorgeous. I couldn't let it go. And the portion was so big. And I was like, I'm going to have this for lunch tomorrow. And I'm going to the club and I'm bringing the food with me. Went to the cloakroom, went and gave the lady my cloak. Or I should say my coat. Why do they call it cloaks? No one's wearing cloaks anymore.
Yeah, but what is a cloak?
Medieval day type shit.
Coat room.
Anyway, so I got my jacket. Gave it to the lady. And then I was like, I know this is really fucked up, but I need you to cloak this as well.
Do you have a fridge?
And I'm not joking. She rolled her eyes at me. She went,
I mean, fair.
And took it. And she was so mad. And I was like,
yeah, because you're stinking out her closet. She has to sit there all night here.
It was very tightly packed into a container.
I draw the line. That's where I draw the line.
But there was no bag. It was just raw dog. She was angry.
Times are tough, babe.
And then I took my ticket and I was like, thanks.
And did you eat it for lunch?
Yes, I did. And that's my recession.
Okay. Well, famously, we don't talk about that on The Hookup. We talk about love, sex, dating, and relationships. So this episode is actually something I don't think we've ever spoke. Can you believe?
Have we not?
Like a sex education podcast and we have never spoken about going through puberty.
It is such a universal experience, which is why I'm surprised that we haven't really covered it. And we thought we would open up the floor today and hear your stories about what it was like for you going through puberty. Like, did you experience a lot of shame and embarrassment or was it really good?
Yeah, I never got taught about puberty in school. I don't think like many of us were kind of given that convo about what to expect. So we kind of want to unpack that in this episode and talk about as well, like kind of Pip said, like some of the shame that comes with that, but also some of the ideas that shift based on your assigned gender, right? Like I think we see as soon as you develop boobs or develop certain parts of your body, then all of a sudden, like how you are seen in the world completely shifts.
Yes.
And the impact that can have on you as a person learning about yourself in the world.
Yeah, there's like mental, there's physical. And also we're going to cover what is kind of this like urban legend thing called second puberty. We're going to figure out if it's real and if you've experienced it, we're going to hear your stories.
So with a lot of episodes that we do, Pip, we hear from you on our Instagram at Triple J The Hookup. So we're not going to talk about like puberty in the sense that like there is this one size fits all. We're going to hear so many different experiences. You might be listening or watching and going, oh, I never went through that or I never experienced that or I never felt like that. So fine, so valid. Mm-hmm. But we are basically just going to be hearing from you, your DMs, your stories, your voice memos around those experiences that you had growing up.
Yeah. Well, maybe we can start with us as we like to, you know, wet everyone's whistle and soften the blow and talk about our own experiences of puberty. How was it for you in general? Like what?
I'm still going to go if you're saying wet the whistle.
Wet the whistle.
I was a really, really late developer.
Yeah.
So I feel like everyone that I was friends with had their period, had boobs, and I didn't really until I was like in my late teens.
Mm.
And I felt so much shame around that. Like I desperately, desperately wanted boobs to fit in.
Really?
Yeah. Like I was like, everyone I knew had them. And like also they got so much attention from guys. And I just wanted, I was seeking that male validation. Like I wanted to be seen as like attractive. So I would buy bras and just like fill them with tissues and like make it look like I had boobs when I absolutely had nothing there.
I just got a flashback to like all those like coming of age films that we would have watched, like Angus Boys and Perfect Snog. Wait, was
it? Angus Thongs and Perfect Snogging?
Angus Thongs and Perfect Snogging. Even like the Bend It Like Beckons, as She's the Man of It All, like doing those things like to just try and fit in. I kind of relate to that, but I also felt like my puberty blues was kind of like moodiness and being like really angry and short-tempered, and I feel like I still am like that a bit. So maybe I've never really grown out of it, but I do remember fighting my brother a lot growing up. And
the slamming of the doors. I think yes. I slammed so many doors and was just like, just this feeling of like, you'll never get me, or like,
yeah,
fuck you. Like I always was so angry over the smallest thing, like not being allowed to go to a sleepover or not being allowed to go to something.
Yeah, I really resonated with the time that my brother first called me a bitch. And it was like fucking mic drop moment. I was like, and then I was like, oh my God, he's right. I'm being a bitch. Like I was being so mean. But yeah, I was like you as well. I was like a bit of a late bloomer as well. And yeah, we'll unpack a lot of the shame around whether you were late or early, because that does play a big role in how you felt about your body changing, like when that was happening. But first, we did a poll on our Instagram, as you mentioned, at Triple J The Hookup. If you're not already following us, what the fuck are you doing? We asked, what was your experience going through puberty? 13% of you said it was a good experience. 12% said I'm traumatized. And 76% of you said it was average and pretty standard. Can I just say, I'm actually really surprised by this.
I'm so shocked that there's not more people traumatized.
I know.
Only 12%.
Like, are you forgetting all of these like pivotal moments? Because I feel like throughout this episode, we're going to have so many flashbacks and be like, oh, fuck yeah, that happened to me too.
It wasn't more the fact that I was going through puberty. Maybe that people are misinterpreting. I don't think that I didn't have a traumatic experience like developing. I had a traumatic experience in the way that I was late, or like the shame around that, or like, you know, I just feel like the way that society deals with puberty was traumatic rather than the actual experience that I was physically going through.
And also, sorry to throw back to what I was just saying about all these movies and books that we're growing up with, like the plot lines were all about like these things happening to people, like getting your first period or getting a pube or getting a boner. Like these were like,
dream.
Yeah, like these were things that people were writing about and being like, this was so like awful at the time. And like, I'm like, maybe people are forgetting that they went through this, but I think we're going to jog your memory.
We can bring it right back.
Bring
for
it back.
You.
Get the therapist on speed dial for after this, because we're going to re-traumatize you. So sorry. But, you know, there are some good things, but we'll get to that. Anyway, let's maybe define as well puberty and like get some science in the room before we get into the journey of it. So what even is puberty? So basically it is the biological process of physical and hormonal changes that transforms your child body into an adult body so that you can reproduce and have children. So I'm going to give like the scientific explanation light in terms of like hormones and stuff. But basically puberty is initiated by the brain, which triggers hormones to travel through the bloodstream to the ovaries or testes, triggering the production of sex steroids. So in girls, it's ovaries producing estrogen and progesterone, and in boys, testes produce testosterone.
Mm-hmm. And we're going to be talking about the trans experience as well. So if you do hear us say like girls or boys, like we are talking about the sex that you were assigned at birth.
Mm.
But yeah, it's so huge. It's not even just the physical changes, like you were saying, Pip. It's also the mental changes, that rapid increase in hormones or the drops that are happening, the changes like really mentally, like you were saying, like moody. I felt like I was crying constantly. Like
really?
I just felt like no matter what it was, I would just cry over it. Millie sent us a DM saying I was a raging bitch, yelled at a teacher, didn't understand why I was so hot-headed.
Yeah, I feel like it's all that like prefrontal cortex stuff developing and not being developed at all. And then, yeah, just getting thrown into like so many bodily changes. So let's unpack all of that. First, let's start with the good experience. So what was it? 13% of you saying it was a great experience. Someone who sent us a voice memo about this, I really, really love this. Kelly sent us a voice memo and she said that she grew up in a really open and educational household. She had like no shame around puberty and it was talked about with her entire family. And this is what happened when she got her first period.
It was a Saturday. I was meant to be going to tennis. My mom later that day made a cake to commemorate and celebrate this moment with the rest of my family. So my younger brother and my dad. I guess I'm really lucky that the kind of family that I grew up in, I didn't feel any kind of like awkwardness or shyness around that. It was just like a matter of life.
I'm obsessed with that.
I want a period cake.
Imagine like your dad and your brother as well. Like I have both of those. And like, I can't even imagine like them
having
being
the
like,
combo with them.
Let's have a period cake. Give me a slice of that cake.
I mean, obviously it's red velvet flavored.
Oh, obviously. You know, when I got my first period, my mum was actually away for like a work trip or something. And I like called her and I was like, it finally happened. Oh my God. I felt like I was just waiting for so long. And she like cried. She
on the phone.
She was really upset that she wasn't there for me. And that was really sweet. Cause like, we didn't necessarily like openly talk about like that kind of thing, but it was really nice to like know that she really cared. And then my grandma gave me a present. She gave me a little, I think it's called like a potpourri or whatever, like the little bag of like lavender that you put in like your socks and undies. And she gave me like a bar of soap. And I was like, okay, symbolically, what does that mean? What are you saying? Dirty? Saying I'm dirty?
I don't know about that.
But it was just like one of those grandma gifts that they were like, just give her something. It's, you're a woman now.
I love that. I'm in two minds because I feel like I was like you. I was a late bloomer and mine came ages later than all of my friends. Like everyone I knew before me had it. And I don't even remember it being like a momentous thing. It was just kind of like it came and it was a bit scary and I think I cried and then that was it.
Yeah.
But like there was no hoo-ha around it and there was no like acknowledgement of it being this significant like change. And so I'm kind of like in two minds because I like the idea of being like, let's create some sort of ritual, make some sort of symbolic moment of this. But then at the same time, I'm also like, yeah, like maybe we should just normalize and it shouldn't be a thing. And it's just like, oh yeah, now you've got it. You know,
I know what you're saying.
I don't know how I feel. I
haven't
decided
that we should have period parties.
Love.
I think any
excuse for a party.
Any excuse to throw a party, any excuse for a little red velvet cupcake. And I think maybe it could
and
be kind of
gender
fun.
I don't like the gendering. Like, I don't like the, I hear so many stories and I feel like this probably was mine of it just being like, oh, that's a your mum or your auntie.
Yeah.
Like, no, like it should be everyone, like that, like Kelly
involving dad.
It's
and
like,
brother.
No, this is your daughter.
Yeah.
If you're a father, it's like, don't just be like, that's your mum's business.
Yeah. I feel like maybe dads and to an extent brothers, like they should just understand as well, like what a woman goes through and they shouldn't be like, oh, okay, that's woman's business. And like, I'll leave that alone. It's like, dad, you could also just explain like the experience
why,
of a period.
Why like, don't you know the ins and outs
of
the thing that literally creates life?
Yeah. Anyway.
Yes. Anyway, that could be a whole episode in itself.
Is anyone having period parties? Do we just coin something really cool? Anyway, so obviously getting your period, a big physical change, right? There were so many DMs of all the different like physical things that you went through in your body. We got DMs about acne, obviously. A lot of people talking about getting stinky for the first time and having BO. I remember my first experience like getting that and I was so weirded out. I was like, what? Like, since when do I smell?
You have to start wearing deodorant.
Yeah.
Hair as well. Like, I remember like starting to grow underarm hair and then quickly having to like shave it, which we're going to talk about hair removal later.
Yeah.
But also just like boners everywhere, right?
Yes.
Like so many people just all of a sudden getting boners like in the middle of class. And this was something that we got a voice memo from Jesse about.
The worst part about puberty for me was the random boners. Like the wind would blow a new direction and instantly it's like boing. And then the worst part about that was in school, because as soon as O Canada starts and everyone needs to stand up for the national anthem, you know, the little guy down there wants to stand up too. And I'm trying to, you know, crouch over forwards over the desk or try to hide it or tuck it or whatever. And then as a teenage boy, you end up coming up with a bunch of different techniques to hide boners. Thank God I don't have to deal with that anymore.
This is why I'm like, how are people not having more traumatic experiences?
Like, I know.
Damien sent us a DM because I don't know. I went to school camp and he said, I went to boarding school. Wet dreams had to be hidden. Ran to the toilets to wash in secrecy. Wet dreams are embarrassing enough, but when you're in a room with 14 others.
Oh my God.
Like just those moments of like either like school camp or like, you know, like wetting the bed or like I remember I got my period in a bed once at a sleepover and I panicked and I literally had to just, I thought about like cutting myself to pretend that I, like this is how much shame I had around it.
Wow.
Like I was so embarrassed about it.
Okay, speaking of that actually, we did have Mia who also got her period on school camp.
My worst period story is year 7 camp. Now I had gotten my period at eight years old, so I knew how to deal with my period. But this year 7 camp was all about water sports. So I had to have tampon lessons at 6 a.m. the morning of. We go to camp. I get out of the canoe and I say to one of the female teachers, would you mind if I walked the 500 meters over to the cabin so I can clean myself up? She said no. So I sat down on the deck in front of everyone and continued to bleed through my swimmers, all over my towel, and it was the most embarrassing moment of my life.
Man, fuck that teacher.
I had a phys ed teacher like that. She was so mean. And you'd be like, oh, can I please go? Or like, I've got my period, like I don't do sports. She'd be like, nah, don't care. And like tampons at that age are so, like for me, they were so traumatizing because like I never fully understood how to do it properly.
Yeah.
Like we're in Australia, like we don't have the insert things.
The applicator. Yeah.
And I remember a friend had vaginismus from tampons and putting them in wrong because they were in so much pain all the time because they weren't doing it properly that their body, their pelvic floor just literally caused them so much pain and trauma for years.
Yeah. I remember the pad or tampon debate was like a hot topic and it was like you were kind of cool if you used a tampon. Like you were
so
like
crazy.
Yeah. You were kind of like mature and sexy and cool if you could do that. And if you had a pad, then you were a fucking baby and you didn't know how to deal. And it's like having the tampon lessons as what Mia said, like I guess it was maybe like a woman or a mom or someone close to her explaining how to do it. And then you always have these questions afterwards because like you said, we don't have applicators in Australia. And you're literally like, okay, cool. So what do I do now that I have my hand is like got blood on it? And it's like, I don't know, just fucking figure it out. It's like, oh my God, the trauma of that is crazy.
Yeah, and I just think like what you're saying, Pete, like imagine being 8 as well. Like such a young age to get your period.
That's and so intense.
You don't fully understand your body. Like school doesn't teach you about it. You might not have caregivers that do. So then we're kind of stuck, like we've been saying, with a lot of shame, right? And this was something that we wanted to find out from you. Like were you an early bloomer or were you a late bloomer?
Yeah, because I feel like that indicates a different type of shame for each person. Do you know what I mean?
Either had a lot of shame because you were early and no one, you couldn't relate to anyone, or you had shame because you were late.
Like us.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So 25% of you said that you were a late bloomer. Mm-hmm. 26% of you said you were an early bloomer and 49% said you were, I don't know, average.
Yeah.
Average.
Yeah. I definitely relate to that feeling of feeling left behind in that sort of scenario. But let's look again at the sort of general science of it. Obviously, like there's not a perfect science to this because everyone has a different experience, but we looked it up and we're trying to figure out what's the average age range. So for girls, it's between 8 to 13 years old and it's 9 and 14 years old for boys. While the average age starting puberty is around 11 to 12 years, it varies with girls often starting earlier. So let's maybe get into like the early puberty stories that we had, and there were tons of them. One of which I felt like I really related to, this one from Luella talking about budding, and it was kind of like when you start to develop breasts.
One of the most horrible parts of puberty for me was when I was budding, so growing breast tissue, growing mammary glands. It is such a vulnerable, vulnerable time in a woman's or girl's life, because it's enough growth and change in your body that it's noticeable through your t-shirt, but it's not yet warranting wearing a bra. And for me, it caused a lot of body dysmorphia, not because I didn't want to be perceived as a female, but I just didn't want to be perceived as an adult. You know, you're in grade 3, you're not mentally ready for the changes that your body's going through.
I feel like that experience of, society and the way that you get viewed and your brain not catching up to your body in that sense is so, so hard. And you're kind of in this weird transition where you're like, okay, I'm no longer really a kid, but I'm also not really an adult either. I'm in this purgatory.
In year 3.
Yeah.
It is so crazy because I think we have this idea of like, which we're going to talk about of what an adult body looks like and the sexualization around that. And then you're like this innocent child who's like, wait, I can't even write fully yet. Like, I'm not even slightly close to becoming an adult yet. People are looking at my body like it is one.
Mm.
And that's not even to mention the body dysmorphia that people might feel if they don't relate to the gender that they're being assigned, right? So we'll hear from our trans fam soon about that specific experience. But yeah, I want to unpack a little bit about that sexualization that does happen to girls in our world, because I grew up in a school where a lot of the girls in my year were really developed quite young, and they were the ones that were so sexualized. Like, all the guys would talk about them. All the guys would call them hot. Like, some of the girls would get like literally their asses grabbed, or like it was so disgusting to watch.
Yeah.
And it was weird because you don't fully understand as a woman or as a girl, actually, like what's going on, but you know that your worth is now being tied to what your body looks like.
Yes.
So as someone who was a late bloomer, I was like, didn't understand that what was happening was actually quite disgusting, but I wanted to be a part of it. It's like I wanted the attention.
Yeah.
Which is so gross. You felt left out. I felt left out because I was like, no one thinks that no guy's giving me attention because I am flat-chested.
We had so many DMs of people telling us their experience of being sexualized and not feeling comfortable in their body and not even really understanding it. So Clara saying, I got boobs really early, like 6 or 7 years old, and I started getting catcalled at this age, and it was so scary. 6 or 7 being commented on, like, your body. I could not even imagine it.
And like also just going like to places with your parents and like even like their male friends like looked at you. I don't know. I just feel like it was reflected in even just like the adults around you.
Yeah.
Like
there'd just be these like sly comments that you wouldn't clock at the time.
People commenting on your body developing, or like men being like, oh,
you're growing up really fast
for your age or something.
Yeah.
It's just a bit like you just all of a sudden are being perceived.
Yes. That's it.
In a really kind of uncomfortable, gross way.
Yeah. Kate also DM'd us and said, sexualized as I looked older, ogling everywhere. Looking back, I was just a baby. And this is what Ruby sent in to us as well.
When I was probably about 9 or 10, I started to hit puberty. And really, the worst part of it was being sexualized as such a young age. I got boobs really early, earlier than anyone else in my year. And that was a gateway for older men to assume that I was older. And the amount of times I was catcalled, wolf whistled, an older guy would wink at me. There are many, many instances where I was just very over-sexualized and became very aware of the sexualization of women in society from a very early age, which is a disappointing experience to have when you're like 11 and 12.
So we heard a lot about how you responded then to this kind of feeling of shame and feeling like you're growing up and people are perceiving you in that way. Tia said, so much shame and embarrassment from puberty has been carried into my adult life. I literally used to pray my boobs wouldn't come in because I was so ashamed. And Harriet said, I had boobs really early on and felt shame about it. I used to strap my chest down and wore jumpers. I want to shout out like all the people as well who like messaged us and said like, yeah, what you've been talking about, Dee, being assigned a gender at birth, growing up, going through puberty and feeling like you don't belong in your body, going through that experience as well and being perceived in that way and your identity being like chosen for you at that point. I can't even imagine like the layers of uncomfortable and shame that you would have to go through there. And like, yeah, we heard a lot of people were like strapping down, and that's what people like, you know, non-binary people do a lot of the time. And even people who aren't I know quite a few people who are who aren't non-binary, yeah, and they still strap their chest because they're just like, I just don't identify with this part of my body.
Yeah. I feel like puberty is such a pivotal moment where you're like, everyone kind of is just like hanging out and like you're young and you're a kid and there's no idea really. I mean, there's obviously like the pink and the blue when we separate gender, but then it's only really until puberty where that really heightens and people start telling you exactly how you should be in society and like your role and like the sexualization that we've been talking about. So yeah, it's just such a like, that's why I'm so shocked by it not being higher than 12% for the traumatizing experiences.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's not just the experiences of, you know, maybe people who are trans or women who are going through these like momentous moments where they're being told exactly like who they should be in the world. But also a lot of guys, right? Like there's this expectation that like as soon as you go through puberty, like your voice should drop. Like you should have a deeper voice. You should have like a lot of hair. Like you should have muscle. And like you should exist in a body a certain way. And we got this voice memo from Kieran who spoke about the shame that he felt around developing pubic hair.
I was an early bloomer, so I wanted to hide it. From memory, there wasn't a lot of guidance or many resources to sort of reach out, get help. Even now, I almost feel like there's this feeling of being a bit vain if you, you know, do a bit of manscaping or trim it. But of course, the need to feel confident and keep the area down there clean, it far outweighs any argument about vanity.
It's interesting hearing a guy have a similar experience of like women as well being like damned if you do, damned if you don't kind of thing. Like he's like, okay, so I'm getting all this pubic hair and I think I should trim it, but then I'm kind of seen as like maybe like metrosexual or something. And it's such a like, oh my God.
Yeah,
like,
I knew a
you
guy,
cannot win.
I knew a guy at my school who got bullied for not having any pubes at all.
Right.
And it's like,
yeah, you can't win.
You can't win. It's like not only are you going through like wet dreams, getting potentially like feeling a lot of shame or bullied for that, then you've got the voice situation. Women have, people are dealing with boob situations coming through. The hair is like a whole added thing.
Yeah.
And especially if you're someone from a background where your hair is quite dark.
Yes.
Then we've got to add in the whole Eurocentric beauty ideals that are put on people based on, you know, how they're kind of showing up in their bodies.
Exactly. And we actually had a voice memo about this from Heidi, who was a dancer and was really ashamed of her pubic hair growing up.
Because I had developed quite dark hair quite early on in puberty, just as a dancer, it made me just feel very insecure because not many other girls were developing like such dark hair at like such a young age, maybe like 8, 9, 10. Yeah, I started getting laser at 14 just because I was feeling so insecure about it, and my mum could see that it was making me not feel that confident and great. So yeah, 14 started getting that and have gotten it ever since, and now I'm 19 and it's just because of hormones, how crazy they are, it still comes back. So it's just a lot of money like going back to laser, but I just feel so insecure now, I guess just from conditioning myself since I was so young that it wasn't really classified as normal.
I was blown away hearing her say at 14 getting laser. I remember first getting laser when I was maybe 18, 19 maybe. And I was like, wow, what an adult decision. What an adult thing to go through to get like to go to a beautician and get my minge out and literally entrust this person to do this. And hearing that she felt like she needed to do it so young, and now she's sort of saying I've almost conditioned myself into this like shame spiral about my body hair is really, really sad to me.
But this is what I mean. Like it's so wild how much pressure like – historically, the hairless Eurocentric ideal put on women is only a century old. Like,
yeah.
It's something that I, you know, like that we've probably all experienced in school. Like, I remember all the girls waxing and all the girls shaving. And I remember my mum saying that I wasn't allowed to.
Yes.
At like 12, 13.
Same.
Because she was just like, no, like, you don't want to do that too early. Like, it'll grow back black, like, blah, blah, blah. And like, I had white hair. Like, I had, like, you could barely see, but I just felt this pressure because all the other girls were doing it. And you feel this embarrassment. And so, like, to hear someone who has dark hair, I'm like, obviously, of course. Like, you have no choice, really.
Yeah, it's like a Eurocentric thing and it's like a capitalist thing where they basically were like, how can we make more money off women? How can we make them feel
more insecure,
worse about themselves?
Yeah. Let's add the pink tax.
Yeah, let's do, like, let's get them to shave their legs, their underarms. Let's also get them to, like, pluck their eyebrows. Let's also, like, get them to do different beauty routines, that, you know, makeup, everything, like all of that. And it's just like, oh my God, we really don't need to do that.
Yeah, it's something that you have to, it's a journey that you go through. I think in high school in particular, if you go through puberty in high school, is one of those experiences where you just care so much about fitting in.
Mm.
And that's what how I felt. I felt so like I was so ashamed. I just wanted to fit in. And then like coming out of it, I did a lot of like unlearning and questioning and like, hang on a minute. Like, why are pink razors more expensive than men's and they're exactly the same? Yes. Like, why are we getting laser and blah, blah, blah? And so, yeah, it's definitely a journey. But I do think as well, like going back to the sexualization pit, isn't it kind of, we don't even have time to really get into this because it's, yeah. But like the sexualization that happens to young girls when they develop, their body develops into like a considered like an adult body.
Mm.
But then at the same time, the shaving and the removing of hair is like making you go back to a prepubescent body.
Oh, it's a huge head fuck. Like the way that
infantilization and the sexualization at the same time.
Exactly. We do not have time to get into it. But like I was thinking about that too and being like, so when you develop and you're like basically being recognized as an adult, or like let's say just like a female experience, let's just talk from our experience, a woman, you're then like told to make yourself look younger back to the child, but you're also getting praised and sexualized for the thing that makes you a woman, but also like you're not attractive anymore if you have hair. I can't. We're not ready for that conversation.
We're not. We don't have the time.
We don't have time. So at the top, we mentioned this idea of a second puberty. And I feel like in my life, I'm like, it's like almost like this urban legend. It's like a myth. It's like sometimes people use this kind of term to be like, why am I going through what feels like another puberty well after I have experienced my, you know, 9 to 14-year-old puberty?
Yeah.
And I don't know about you, but I feel like I've heard it online. I feel like I've had friends talk to me about it. And so we were like, let's investigate this. So firstly, we asked, have you experienced a second puberty? 38% of you reckon you have and 62% of you said you haven't. So let's define it.
Yeah, because I even going into this episode was a bit like, I think we're going to get into the menopause of it all. But yeah. I'm like, I don't know if I think I did, but I think it was forced. But I don't know. I haven't really heard too much about second puberty.
Okay. Well, let me tell you about it. So it's not technically a medical term, and we have to stress this. Like no one's out there like in a medical journal talking about it as like a real significant thing that happens to everybody. It's definitely more of a slang kind of term that's kind of clocked on, I guess, on the internet. And it sort of represents this like hormonal and bodily changes that happen in people. And it's more common in women, apparently, after your first puberty and leading up to menopause.
Right.
So obviously what we know and what we've talked about before in the hookup is perimenopause. And we know that it can happen as early as 30, which is like huge hormonal changes. And it's kind of like the onset of menopause, which is like hot flashes, fluctuating hormones. You can get sleep issues, mood, anxiety, depression, all of that fun shit. We actually got a DM from someone saying perimeno stage and body changes are re-traumatizing like the first round of puberty. So a few of you have experienced this.
Is this something that you can also experience coming off of contraceptives?
I do believe you can, and we will unpack this very, very soon.
Okay.
But I wanted to validate any guys or male identifying people who are listening to this, you can kind of go sort of through a second puberty as well. Not as much as women apparently, but there is this thing called andropause, which is obviously sounds like menopause, but it's like for men.
Oh.
It's a male menopause. It's apparently often gradual. It's a decline in testosterone levels in men, and it sort of begins to start falling at about 1.6% per year starting in a man's mid-30s. I think it's a very, very gradual decline, and it's not as intense as maybe what some women experience. But overall, there is sort of evidence to say that people might feel a second puberty to do with hormones changing after adolescence. There are secondary sex characteristics that keep developing, body composition shifting, so like where your weight and your muscle and bone density is happening, as well as your brain maturing and changing. Like again, like that prefrontal cortex developing after 25.
I know, I feel like that's where we're at the moment, right? I feel like for the first time the past couple of years, I have felt so in sync with my body and with my hormones. And I feel like so connected to my mood and the fluctuations, and I feel so much more in control.
Yeah.
Whereas I feel like for maybe a lot of my late teens and early 20s, it was just like all over the place. Like, did I have boobs? Did I not have boobs? Like they like fluctuated, like my body fluctuated and my moods fluctuated, and I felt like my period fluctuated, like it didn't have like a set time frame.
Mm.
And I just feel like maybe for the past 5 years, it's like everything's been so set in clockwork. in a way that like has taken a long time to get there.
Yeah, I kind of wonder with people who messaged us and said that they had this like mental shift and that's what they felt like their second puberty was, like a clarity almost. And I am like, maybe it's just the maturity thing. Maybe it is just like your body settling in, you get to know yourself more, or you care more about your health as you get older. And so therefore you are making a conscious effort to take care of yourself and to be in tune and to like listen to yourself. And yeah, just in general life, giving you lessons and you learn and you mature. But you know, so many of you said to us that like that positive feeling, that mental shift was a second puberty that you actually really enjoyed. This is what Sarah said about it.
I think I really experienced a second puberty around my mid-20s. I feel like my body matured, I grew into myself, and I experienced that real kind of like coming of age that I had been waiting for. And now I'm 27, and even though I feel like I was significantly later to that whole experience, I'm kind of glad it happened now. I feel like I really took my time with these things. Like, I wasn't sexualized early. I got to figure things out, I guess, at a slower pace and see other people navigate it before me.
What a great observation there. I think that would definitely help someone's journey in that. And yeah, I think that kind of coming of age, like mentally and spiritually, can be quite freeing and quite beautiful when you just feel so you.
Yeah. And I guess like she said, she didn't have to go through that early sexualization, which I think would play such a huge role of being able to properly figure out who you are before the world tells you who you are. We also had this voice memo from Kaylin talking about their second puberty.
For me, puberty hit pretty early. I was probably about 9. Biggest thing that changed was I obviously noticed big uptick in, you know, everything sexual that comes with that. And then probably when I was about 21, 22, I feel like I went through like a second phase of puberty where I suddenly grew more hair and became a raging lefty.
I love that. That's so funny.
I love that it's like that's the link. It's like you grow your hair and then you become a raging lefty. Yeah.
But yeah, some people didn't really love their second puberty. A lot of people weren't like really enjoying it. It's not so pleasant. Like we were saying before, you can kind of develop like a new body shape in a sense. Growing different hairs. I don't know about you, but like I have these like 3 chin hairs that I'm like battling every day. And I kind of love them because they're kind of fun to play with. But also,
I like that you love them.
I love them, but I'm also just like, where did you come from and why? And why is it like when I take one out,
it comes back
within hours?
I reckon my second puberty was probably just like adult acne. I feel like I had such bad acne like all through my 20s.
Yeah.
Like went on a Accutane like 3 times.
Whoa.
Yeah. It was so bad, Pip. It was like really bad to the point where they were like, all right, it's really scarring now. Like you're going to have to go on meds for it. But
yeah.
I just remember thinking like, why am I going through this in my mid-20s?
Yeah, so many people relate to that and so many people DM'd us. In fact, I actually saw, you know, The Cut on Instagram, like that publication. As we're recording this, they're doing this whole thing called Adult Acne Week. And they have like all these crazy stats. And they said that adult acne affects more than 40% of adults over the age of 20 who suffer from some form of acne, who often had clear skin as teens. So like it's definitely a thing. Like there's a lot of hormonal things going on.
Massive. And like we mentioned, coming off contraceptives, I feel like that was a major shift for me. I only went on them when I was like in my late teens as like a way to maybe try and deal with my acne.
Yeah.
And then I remember like completely my body shifting. Like my breasts grew massively. My hips, like everything just became fully massive and shaped and warped. And then I got off it. And that's when like the acne came back and my body shifted again. I got stretch marks because it just kept changing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I feel like coming off the pill or going on the pill like really does fuck with your body.
Yeah, I completely relate to that. I feel like I've talked to you so much about my journey coming off the pill, which was like 2 or 3 years ago now. I now have like a really set cycle. Like I really know my moods, but I also like feel moods like so much more, and I get more breakouts like around my chin and my mouth. Like it's really, really fascinating. And I feel like my symptoms are kind of almost like mild compared to other people. Yeah. But this is what Nicole sent in to us.
I've been on the bar for 6 years now. I'm about to take a little break. What I've noticed in the last 6 years is very much what I went through during high school. It's horny, sad, angry, happy, all the emotions all at once, just like a puberty feels. Growing but not growing.
it's a really strange thing, but it does feel very much like a second puberty. A lot of the time I just feel like a little horny teenage boy.
So like we were saying before as well, Dee, like taking medication is definitely something, or hormones in general, is something that like a lot of our queer fam told us about in the DMs. And I was actually watching Euphoria. I don't know if you're watching like the new season.
I am refusing to.
I'm hate watching it.
I just can't.
I think we should do like episodes on
it. I know. I just can't. Anyway.
I want to take down Sam Levinson. Anyway, that's a different podcast for a different time. But there's this obviously very famous character in it played by Hunter Schafer, who yes. is a trans woman. And I was looking into like her history because there was a line that she said in the show where she was talking about how she got onto like blockers during puberty. And I was like, oh, I wonder what Hunter Schafer's experience of that was, because I do think that she came out quite young and realized that she was trans. And yeah, so she apparently did experience the initial stages of male puberty, which caused significant distress and gender dysphoria. She began transitioning in the ninth grade, so around 14 years old, and with support was put on hormone blockers, which act as a pause button on puberty. This is so fascinating because, yeah, a lot of you like had to go through puberty and realize that feeling of discomfort and not really feeling connected to your body, or mm-hmm. even sometimes betrayed by your body because you weren't getting on blockers or you were just still trying to figure things out. And that is like an experience of puberty that I can't even imagine would be just so horrible to go through.
Yeah.
You know, the added layer of being like, okay, I'm developing breasts and I don't really feel like a woman at all.
Or getting your period, right? Mm. Like this was something that Max sent us a DM about.
Puberty was really hell for me because I'm a trans masculine person, and going through female puberty at age 9 when my breasts started coming in was really horrible. It felt like my body was betraying me, and all my friends, my female friends, seemed to be happy with the changes in their body. I mean, yeah, I can understand that, becoming a woman and all of that, but I didn't want that. I didn't understand what was happening. I got my period at age 12 and it was always very heavy and about 8 days. And I often fainted during class or just on the street. And I was told by the doctor to just get on the pill. I was 13 and I think it gave me a lot of complicated feelings towards my body. I hate puberty.
Oh, just going through that, but then also going through the experience of like the period being really heavy and fainting. It's like, oh my God. So sorry you went through that, Max.
Yeah. We did hear a lot though, Dee, from people who went through puberty and then they realized, they were like, okay, I want to transition, or I want to take hormones to change like my body and like really affirm my like gender and how I feel about myself. And so many people said that like getting through that experience and taking hormones was like their second puberty. And in some ways it was like hard, but also in some ways it was like euphoric, because you felt like you were like going through the thing that you've been waiting to do. And this is what Sean had to say about that.
With masculine puberty, oh my God, I was so greasy, acne, it's bad. And in the first year, I got what my older brother affectionately referred to as the guy zoomies. I would just get a sudden urge to exercise. I now understand why guys touch roof beams. I just get this overwhelming urge whenever I see beams or branches or door frames to just touch it. Oh, and my voice dropped off a cliff really soon after I started taking testosterone.
Is that a cat?
Yes, that was Sean's cat.
Oh, I love Sean's cat.
Sean's cat always makes a little appearance.
That makes me so happy.
Shout out.
Also, like, not to mention that we've heard from a lot of trans friends of ours, like, your sex drive changes.
Oh my God,
like,
yeah.
Like, you completely shift depending on what hormones you're taking. Like,
yeah.
You could all of a sudden get a really high sex drive, which has been so fascinating. But yeah, I think it's so important for us, like, we've shared, Pip, in this episode. Like, what we really wanted to get across was, like, no one experience of puberty is the same, but that's why they're so important to share, because this is just something that we don't talk about. Like, even when we decided to do this episode, like you and I just sharing our experiences in the office, it was like, oh my God, yeah, like I've never actually really spoken to anyone about like when I first got my period and how I felt, or like the shame that I felt around not having boobs, or the sexualization that my friends felt. Like, you know, these are just such important conversations to have, because I just don't think we're having them.
Yeah, so well said. Thank you to everyone who contributed to this episode. It was like really fun and also like at times really confronting as well. But yeah, like you said, really great to have these conversations, and let's keep it going in the DMs. If you ever want to message us, you know where to find us, at Triple J The Hookup. And we'll see you next time.
Okay, bye.
Bye.